Yeah, climate change is a really challenging topic, and it's going to take a lot of work from a lot of people across a lot of industries across the entire world. This isn't something that we can really only tackle as one company. This is something that we need across the board. Hi, my name is Brad Steinebron, and I'm the head of service marketing for Siemens Energy.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
I am Hallicaster Jane, and welcome to the Hallicaster Jane Show, where along with my partner in politics, veteran White House correspondent, and Time and Newsweek alum Matthew Cooper, we slice and dice all things politics, and some days, our lawmakers too. Before we get started, the Hallicaster Jane Show podcast is always available at HallicasterJane.com and wherever you most like to listen to your podcasts. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at Hallie Show Quotes. Now, let's get started. It's Hallie and Matt time. Here we go. So, Matthew, hello.
Hi, Hallie. It's been a while.
Did you miss me?
I did. I missed you. I missed our talks. I missed our audience.
It was so bizarre not to be talking to you on a weekly basis, but... For those who don't know, I got quite ill, and it was just, I had to stop because I wasn't getting better because I was working myself to the bone. So under doctor's orders, I took a few weeks off, which I never do, and oh my gosh, I'm a new woman. But I did miss you.
Likewise.
I did miss you.
Likewise. Well, I'm glad you're back, and a lot going on.
Oh my gosh. Where do we begin? I'll tell you where we begin. I'm in Florida. COVID hell. It only gets worse.
Right. So we've been talking about this for a while, even before your break. Tell me what's the latest down there, what you're seeing, because you're on the scene. And
It's so bad. And it's in a way not being properly reported, because in my little world, and I have a very small world, I can't count the cases of COVID of my friends, their children, their grandchildren. It is everywhere.
So all ages
it's just, when they say 1 in 10, they're not kidding.
And were these people that you know unvaccinated?
No, some vaccinated, some not vaccinated. A very good friend of mine was doubly vaccinated, didn't matter, got it, is in the hospital and has been there now for 4 weeks.
Yeah, gosh. Now I was going to ask, so the people you know have got it, did their symptoms range from kind of asymptomatic to hospitalization?
None of them are asymptomatic. It goes from a slight cold, and then it kind of sits there, and then from there it goes and it progresses into respiratory, from the youngest to the oldest. Now, the school, I think it's... The school is the problem. We all know that DeSantis has done everything he can to stop mask wearing and no vaccinations, et cetera. And finally, yesterday, the court held its ground and said, you're going to require masks and you're not going to be able to charge the schools
right.
who require masks. And so the stay was lifted, which this judge apparently has never done in the history of his time on the bench. And we'll see what happens, because it's going to a Republican judge next, and you know what's going to happen. But it seems to me, and I can't figure it out, I was trying to do some research on this yesterday, a very good friend of mine, his son, who's in his early 40s, and his kid and his wife weren't vaccinated. And they just thought that was fine. And I don't know who got it first, because the mother has it, and she works at a hotel, and then the kid got it. And then my friend's son doesn't have his test negative so far, but of course his work said, you ain't coming in, and the school immediately said, you ain't coming in, and there you go. It's just utterly bizarre, because you can't,
you don't want to go anywhere because you know everybody's getting it. And anyway, the kid is symptomatic, which is really, you know, they said, no, these kids will get up, but they won't be. He's incredibly symptomatic. So just to let you know, don't come to Florida because you're going to get it. Same friend's sister came to Florida, flew in from Hawaii, and is dead.
Jesus.
So is this kind of depth to how this
happened? Interesting. And in the county where you are, is it one of the ones that has a mask requirement?
No.
It has a mask requirement.
No mask requirement in the school, and the count's very high.
Yeah. And what's going on in the school? So they're not, it's not required.
Well, they have to close schools. They're actually closing schools because the caseload is getting so high.
In your county?
Some of the schools have had to close. It's not just in my county, it's all across the state. Like I said, there's very odd reporting going on here. I frankly don't understand it. I do know yesterday that a friend of mine who's a journalist said he's been following freezer trucks because the morgues are completely filled with bodies. So they have to bring these freezer trucks. So he on his own, he wasn't assigned the thing, just got into his car, was on the freeway, started to see them, started to follow them, and it was like, you know, lines of freezer trucks. And, he went and he followed them to schools and to morgues because they don't know where to put the bodies. So I'm going to call this. I'm curious what you think about this. This is the reason this is happening, Matt. One of the reasons of the many reasons, but it's a reason that I don't think that this is like the there's no picture to go along with this disease. Polio, you had an iron lung and you had pictures of people in iron lungs, which was just terrifying. You can't take pictures of people's lungs. You can go into the hospital, you can see them in bed, you know, writhing, you know, in discomfort. But you can't get a picture of what this is. So it's the disease that is kind of no big deal. If you had to put them in iron lungs to breathe, I think there would be a huge difference in how people responded to it. I'm just saying. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that's right. Most searing images are of, you know, shut down businesses and empty streets, but they're not of individuals suffering.
Exactly.
For the most part.
So it's going to happen to somebody else, and you don't really, you can't take pictures of what's going on in a person's lungs or in their heart.
Right. Now, you definitely can't take a picture of a person's lungs.
Yeah, so I think that that's a huge problem. Biden is going to give a speech tonight? Yes?
Yeah, he is. He's going to use executive power and as much muscle as he can to push vaccinations. It's a little no more Mr. Nice Guy, so he's going to announce that federal employees need a vaccination.
And contractors.
Their jobs. Yeah, contractors. It's not just enough to, get tested, opt out of vaccination, but get tested often, which has been the case in a lot of areas in public and private sector employment. Now it's going to be you get the shot or you don't work here. I'm sure he'll get pushback on that from unions and litigants and whatnot. But yeah, I think it's a sign the White House knows that this is, there's no more victory laps on this. He's going to have to engage in what they said during the Cold War, a long twilight struggle. It's not going to be over soon, and he's going to kind of gear everyone up for, living with this rather than defeating this.
I'm going to tell you, it's my opinion that unless he really gets drastic with this, he doesn't get reelected. And the Dems lose the midterms. People are just exhausted from this. They're just sick and tired of it. Whatever the minority is ruling and controlling this game right now, which is disgraceful. But I don't think people can handle it much longer. And unless everybody gets vaccinated, it doesn't end. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. So it's my opinion that look at his poll numbers.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. You said hello.
Yeah.
No, his poll numbers are...
Yeah, there's no...
Yeah. Go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, I said his poll numbers are horrid. They just tanked. And it has to do with COVID. and all the effects that COVID has on people's mentality and, you know, whatever. So I want to discuss this a little bit more in depth than we are at this point in our conversation, but I do want to say, at some point, L.A. school system announced that vaccinations are going to be required in their schools. First state to do it. And I don't see how you don't somehow figure a way to push those schools all across the country to do it. They do get federal money, so that's the game. Make it mandatory or you lose your federal money. You know, it was good enough for DeSantis to do.
Yeah, well, you can see he's having trouble in the courts, and I think Biden has limits to what he can do federally. But look, I agree. I think what is, you know, what the scientists said, I don't know anything about this, but that, you know, this will wend its course, that eventually everybody's going to get some version of it, and it's going to become, you know, like the 1918 flu, which still exists, but is no longer toxic. It right. just eventually has to play itself out. And hopefully, you know, people get the vaccination nonetheless, because it better it play itself out with people vaccinated than not.
Oh, for sure. But this isn't 1918. That's the difference. And the kind of lifestyles that we all lead right now are so different than they were back then. So the comparison is kind of strange in that sense. But
well, just in the sense that disease is, you know, infectious diseases play themselves out, and that's why toxicity diminishes over time, and you know, it has to play itself out.
Except that this one is mutating again into the mu
right.
version,
right?
And Israel is now on its third booster,
right.
fourth.
And we
booster?
Will
booster.
Yeah, we will have boosters and mutations and. And of course, as long as most of the world is not vaccinated, mutations will form with greater speed and likely toxicity. You know, I mean, it's in our interest to get the world vaccinated, and that's not happening.
So, for a little humor,
have
you gotten your shot of ivermectin?
No, I haven't done Rasputin or whatever the other one was that Trump was pushing. And, no, I haven't gotten any. You know, I'm not taking any ginseng or.
Well, the ivermectin I happen to have a little bit of knowledge of, because, you know, I'm a horsewoman, and you used to have to give those big old ivermectin shots for deworming to my horses, and these just, you know, huge vials. I mean, they were like, you know, 8-10 inches long, for God's sakes. And what people didn't understand, you could get a horse sick by worming them. This stuff is all that powerful. But now, yesterday it was announced that men who take ivermectin suffer from sterility. So have at it, boys.
Yeah, really.
Right?
Well, what could go wrong?
I mean, it's crazy crap. People are absolutely nuts. The same.
I don't really understand why people are so vaccine resistant, but they love taking these crazy things. I mean,
because they say that if you take the vaccine, it's really a shot of a small camera that's put into your arm.
Right.
That they can go and follow you wherever you go because
yes.
everybody cares
yes.
where you go.
Yes, unlike Facebook, yes.
Yes, exactly. exactly, exactly. Look.
Well, it's crazy business.
We're in crazy times. Jim Justice, who's the Republican governor from West Virginia, has done a bang-up job getting downright feisty and honest about this. You know, he's doing this PSA saying, what are you people, crazy? A Republican governor in what used to be a Democratic state is, you know, just going batshit crazy over all of this. Unlike his Democratic
yeah.
senator, Joe Manchin, who is not quite as sane as Jim Justice is. I mean, you know, what? Can we talk about Joe Manchin for a second and get off
yeah,
COVID?
Yeah, and did he have something to say about COVID and vaccines?
No, not COVID vaccines, just that, you know, he's going to stop.
Yeah, he's pushing back on Biden's big $3.5 trillion package of liberal goals and such. And he's, you know, in a divided Senate, every man's a king, and he likes wearing the crown, so he has been pushing back, saying he's not going to support this, leaving, you know, the Biden folks to wonder, well, what do they do? Can he be appeased? Is there a way to convince him otherwise, et cetera?
The interesting thing about this is there's a pattern that goes on with him, which is he lets it go along and then he writes an op-ed and he, you know, bangs the hammer. I'm not going along with this, yada, yada, yada. And then ultimately he caves. My reporting says that they're not taking him as seriously as they used to. I don't know if that's a smart thing or a dumb thing. I think they'd run him out of town if he were to stop Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally think they would.
Yeah, well, it's a process with him. It's the many stages of dealing with him. There's, you know, there's anger, denial.
Right, exactly.
Pushing back.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, he has gone along with a lot of things, you know, bitched about, and maybe he'll go along with this. I imagine it'll be a small, if it does pass, it'll be a smaller package than it is now, but, you know, such is the nature of these things. I'm sure he's not the only Democrat to have reservations about the size of this package.
Well, how dare they have reservations about $3.5 trillion after what Trump did, after what Trump did with his 7-point-something trillion. I mean, you know, give me a break.
Well, this is the thing. Everybody suddenly, you know, becomes a prude about spending it, you know, after we've... I don't know why anyone bothers to care at this point. I mean...
Right, exactly.
What we're spending is so divorced from revenue at this point, you know, just have at it.
Have at it. But, you know, it gets into a question about how Democrats conduct themselves. You know, you and I've had this conversation ad nauseum that they don't quite know how to play dirty the way the Republicans do. You know, and it's like they're playing by the books and the Republicans are screwing them at every turn that they can possibly screw them at. And, you know, it's a hard lesson and one that they better learn very quickly to change, because I'm really worried that if they don't start getting really aggressive in getting his agenda pushed through as quickly as they can, you know, there's going to be such a long-term effect. Talking long-term effect, here's one. Texas abortion fiasco. I mean, right?
Yeah. You mean the effect will be if he...
Elections count. How you play it counts.
Right.
You know, Supreme Court, 6-3, it's a mess. And it's a mess because the Democrats just never quite got how you play the game. And they still don't. So my concern right now is it's past time to learn. I don't know Joe Biden. I don't know his team. I notice that they're getting him out there as much as they possibly can. He's been on TV every day now for the last week, which is really interesting to me. And he's going to give a speech tonight. That tells me that they think the more that people see him, the more they like him, the better things get. But his polls, because of Afghanistan, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, tanked. They're bad. You know, they're not going to win a midterm with these kind of poll numbers. And like I said, if you keep on doing the same old thing, the same old way, you get the same old result, which is why I think at this point, it's my opinion that the Democrats better figure that they got to start playing really, really rough. Or else you get this mess that came out of Texas and this abortion thing. You do background and then we'll discuss it, because I get sick from this.
The Texas abortion law.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Texas heartbeat law, as it's called, makes it possible that when a fetus displays some kind of heartbeat, which is usually around 6 weeks, that abortions before that are okay, although most women don't realize, who are interested in abortion, don't realize they're pregnant so early. At that point, rather than the state banning abortions and enforcing it, they've licensed every citizen anywhere to launch a suit against anyone who reforms, aids, participates in an abortion of a post 6-week old fetus. The Uber driver takes the woman to a clinic, the clergyman who recommends what to do, the lawyer who gets you over to Louisiana, whatever, all are open to suits. And there's a big flock of, Right to Life activists who are ready to start litigating. It comes with a $10,000 penalty, and court costs. It's designed to close abortion clinics. And that's what's happened. The clinics in Texas are closing because they can't operate under those kinds of legal sort of Damocles hanging over them. So this is clearly, an unconstitutional law, a challenge to Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Now the Supreme Court, instead of just putting on a stay and saying, well, we want to hear the arguments about this, they said, well, this is so confusing since there's no public official enforcing this law. We don't know who to send a stay to. So we'll come back to it later. And that's what, five of the justices did, all the conservatives except for Roberts. So this law is in effect for now in Texas.
So let's discuss some of the ramifications here, though, Matt.
Because they're extraordinary.
So what Texas has basically done is set up a bounty hunter system, like
that's
the old
precisely.
West.
It's like snitches and bounty hunters.
Okay. I looked up bounty hunters because, I've been working on this crazy project thing. Maybe you don't know, but I'm working on something about the old West and the Native Americans or whatever. But long story short, it's very interesting to me that bounty hunting has been banned in every country except the United States. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's interesting.
And our version of it is morphed, obviously. It's not like the old days where a bunch of guys said, oh, there's a bounty on this guy, let's go find him. Not quite that. Now they use it more for the courts and for people who are jumping bail and crap like that, or not paying their bail bond. But nevertheless, it's legal, where in most Western countries it's been deemed illegal.
Oh, yeah. It's glorified with TV shows. So.
Exactly. And, who do you trust? But I want to go back to the Supreme Court because I got a new name for them. Because
I love your name. I love your names.
Night Court.
That's pretty good. For those of us of a certain age who remember
the series and the bungling.
Night.
And whatever. To do this in the dark of night was just.
Right. The so-called shadow docket.
Yeah. Was really a disgrace amongst all the other disgraces. But.
Right.
We have to discuss it in terms of this Supreme Court. I mean, first of all, Susan Collins has some explaining to do.
Well, yes. Brett Kavanaugh was part of the conservative cabal that clearly allowed this Texas law to stay. And
she had vouched for him.
Supreme Court doesn't have to issue an opinion. They don't have to really explain the reasons or even sign it individually. They can just put out nothing, or as they did, a short one paragraph.
Well, I understand but my reason for saying this is she vouched for him when everybody, swore
yes,
up and down that he looked her in the eye and,
Right. He's not going to overturn Roe.
Exactly. So. Well, this goes back to what I was talking about in terms of how Dems handle themselves. And if they can't make a direct hit one place, they have to go and make a direct hit another. And I think that they really ought to just take her down and out. She was just reelected, but you can render her somebody who doesn't want to put her face in front of the camera anymore because she's been so humiliated and so shamed. And they need to humiliate her and shame her the way that they're trying to shame these women in Texas. Just saying.
Yes. I think that makes total sense.
And that's where the Democrats never get it right. But they need to do that. They need to do that.
Right.
I want to talk about abortion for a second. I'm pro-choice, but, I doubt that I could ever abort a child. I had an interesting conversation with somebody who wrote this out, who had fathered a child with the woman that he loved when he was a young man. And she didn't tell him she was pregnant right away. And then she told him. She didn't want to marry. He asked her to marry. She didn't want to marry him. But she said, I would like you to take care of your child and be a part of your child's life. And they were both very, very young. And this was pre-abortion easy days. You couldn't just go and get an abortion back in the day. Long story short, they wind up in court, and the judge comes down on him and says, this is what you're going to have to pay weekly to support this child who you're a parent of. Now, he's telling me that he's complete, you know, he's a real churchgoer, you know, a evangelical even, and he's telling me how he does not believe in abortion, and it's murder, and he would never sanction it, and, you know, adoption is the answer, yada, yada, yada. And then he tells me that he ultimately made, which I knew because he didn't meet his kid until the kid was 13, that he walked away because he didn't want to pay the payments. And I said to him, you know, abortion comes in many forms. You virtually aborted your child. You were a young man. You made a mistake. You're the first to admit it. He does, because he loves his kid to death now. But the fact of the matter is, he couldn't carry it to term, or it wasn't his body that this child, this thing was in, yada, 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 that women have to go and suffer the consequences. But he did, nevertheless, and that's men's option. That's men's divorce. Men's divorce can be, I am not going to support this child. So, you know, we need to have this conversation of abortion in a much larger sense. And that's why the narrow framework of not only the Texas crap that they've been pulling, but how we view and have this conversation of abortion makes it a woman's shame, when I think it's equally can be a man's shame. And it shouldn't be anybody's shame. It should be choice. He knew that his girlfriend, by the way, was in love with another man, and she ultimately married him, and that was who he was going to let raise that kid. Stupid choice, but it was a choice, and he was allowed that choice. Women don't get that choice if you kill Roe v. Wade. Just saying.
No, that is true. They do not, and of course, you know, getting child support from men is it's been a big and ongoing problem, regardless of abortion. Well, look, this Texas law, I don't think there's any guarantee that it's going to stay enforced, but it is a big
deal
to have the second most populous state effectively ban abortion. And, you know, look, this Supreme Court's full of shit. If California had passed a law that rode roughshod over the Supreme Court's gun decision in Heller, and they said, actually, you can, you can ban guns and can sue people who have guns, and we're just gonna do it our way. This court would have struck that down in about 30 seconds.
This is an ideological battle they have been waging since the 80s. You know, and they were going to take it and will continue to take it to any degree they have, because it's a political fight. Because you know damn well half the people on that court probably at one time or another knocked somebody up. You know, Kavanaugh, for one, by the way. We also learned that investigation that was supposed to happen during his confirmation hearings never actually did. And it's my opinion that, boy, oh, boy, there's another avenue for the Democrats to go is, you know, to insist that some kind of investigation be done into his behavior. And drag him down too. This is the biggest failing of Biden, as far as I'm concerned, because you know, he's kind of in la la land in some respects, if you ask me, on all of this. He just lets his stuff roll off his back and figures, I'm just going to plow through, do what I have to do. It isn't working for him, which is why his poll numbers are suffering so badly. And so I think he needs to get a team in there that's just going to become as relentless in destroying everybody in the Republican Party as best that they can.
Well, this is a big deal, and the court has another big abortion case to consider. And,
right, in the next session.
I don't think Roe will be dead in a year, but I think
it'll be rendered neutered.
Yeah,
the way men should be neutered, who knock women up and walk away. I'm sorry, what?
Right, there you go.
I mean, it's it. We already have one justice on the Supreme Court who's been neutered for all intent and purposes, and her, its name is, don't get me started on her. All right.
She has like five kids. What are you talking about?
She's in a cult. She's playing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't mean she's.
No. Hear me on this one. This is not a thinking woman. This is a woman who is in a cult where men have all the control, and she does their thing. And she's going along with her husband and her cult political game. I mean, they basically, I mean, I'm not talking about, I mean, she's a baby-making machine.
Well, she's definitely not neutered.
The word for women is not neutered, by the way. That's for men,
okay,
neuter men. But she is a vessel, and that's what she is. And she's playing it to the hilt with having a whole bunch of babies and adopting kids, you know. And I mean, there's a whole game that goes on in that world. But basically, men are making the choices for those women. She doesn't have a...
Well, I don't know. She could be doing it of her own volition. I don't think she's necessarily...
I think she's evil.
Automaton. But in any event... In any event, it's her. It's her. You know, look. I mean, I think Roberts is. This is not going to be the last time we see Roberts voting with the liberals and getting run over by the other ones.
I would sure love to have an interview with him. I don't know if he ever could be honest and where he's at and what he whatever. I mean, his actions speak louder than his words. That's for sure. But he. I'm all for packing the court now. But I'm all for ending the filibuster now, too. Let's talk about that. Because I do think it's fascinating what's going on. And in this way that I think the Democrats start to need to get aggressive, one of them is, look, if Joe's numbers stay down, which I'm not sure that they will, maybe we should have that discussion before we go further, because maybe that's Afghanistan and the surge of COVID. Can he recover from that? What do you think?
Sure. I mean, it's
early enough.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new, because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt-out.
The pandemic has been hard on all our kids. New studies show more than 1 in 3 children who started school in the pandemic now need intensive reading help. That's right. Millions of kids in kindergarten through third grade in the United States cannot read at grade level. Here's the good news. Your child can be reading in just 30 days, guaranteed, with Hooked on Phonics. Even if your child has been struggling, Hooked on Phonics will teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. And right now, you can get started for just $1. Text the word GRADE to 323232 right now. Hooked on Phonics is highly effective and incredibly fun, and everything can be done right from home and in less than 20 minutes a day. For more than 30 years, Hooked on Phonics has been the proven learn-to-read program that kids love to use. Text GRADE to 323232 and teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. Text GRADE to 323232 right now and get started for just $1. Text GRADE to 323232 now. Text GRADE to 323232.
Well, it depends if you're talking about the midterms or the presidential reelect, but, you know, look, it's September 2021. There's a lot that's going to happen between now and November of next year. But that said, you're right. At the moment, he's less popular. I don't think the Democrats are on track for a successful midterm. I think they're on track for a bad one. I think everyone will keep an eye on the Gavin Newsom recall and the Virginia governor's elections to the degree that they're bellwethers. And
Let me give you a bellwether on Terry McAuliffe. Do you know this? Do you know that in the last weeks that his competitor has surged into equal with him? He lost his entire advantage because Biden's polls are dragging him down? Did you know that?
Yes. I know. I'm in
You're in
D.C.
Washington.
Yeah, Virginia's in our market. It's we see a lot of
Virginia this is concerning.
News. Yeah, I believe McAuliffe is still going to win, but it's closer than it should be, and this guy's an asshole.
Oh, yeah, right.
That stopped.
Well,
I mean,
but he is.
You know, he's a rich Carlyle Group guy who's basically not a right-winger, but who's pretending to be one for the Trumpies, that video of him talking about abortion is just devastating. I don't think he's going to make it, but I'd be concerned.
It's Virginia. Virginia's weird.
Well, yeah, but getting bluer. Now, I think Newsom's going to be okay.
That looks pretty good.
If it had been last week, I think if it had been 2 weeks ago, he wouldn't have been, but...
He seems to have
I think they've scared the shit out of people about Larry Elder. I think they're making it a straight blue-red fight out there, and that's good in a very blue state. So, you know, they got Biden and Harris and everybody going out there.
Yeah.
To move the flag.
Yeah. I think he's going to be okay too. And you know, they put up some really crappy people against him. That was the other thing that people just had to find out about. The Kardashian.
Jenner.
Jenner just helped, as far as I'm concerned.
Caitlyn Jenner, wound up to be sort of a
jerk.
Non-factor compared to Larry Elder.
Yeah, but a real jerk, too.
Just not smart enough.
So I was talking about saving Biden's presidency. I just want to tell you that I've been thinking a lot of this. They ought to hire me. They need to abolish the filibuster. And of all people, Harry Reid came out today and said to end the filibuster. They need to get the court packed. Merrick Garland needs to get more aggressive on multiple fronts. And he's a conversation we could have. They need to reinstate the jobless benefits and the housing eviction moratorium, and they need to go after their enemies, DeSantis and the rest. And if they don't do all of those things, Matt, I think they're toast. And the Democrats are the ones who are pulling his poll numbers down in the independents, and that's because we've had enough. The thing that I hear most from fellow Democrats I'm not a Democrat, but I'm an independent, but from people on the left, is they're... We're in the majority, and I've never felt more in the minority. Nothing I want is getting done. The agenda is being manipulated by the right. And they're right. Don't you agree? I mean, it's not Biden's agenda. They're on the defensive again against the wacky Republicans.
Yeah, well, look, I agree. There's no question he's got to get things passed, and he's got to get them passed quickly. The Democrats cannot survive without passing more of their agenda. They will get killed. They may get killed even if they do pass it, but they got to.
But they have no chance if they don't pass. If they don't
right,
pass
they got
to
get more on the board. They're not getting it. The continued existence of the filibuster makes it.
It's a real messaging party. But by the way, Amy Klobuchar, who, by the way, just announced before we went on air that she's been battling breast cancer, but she's okay. I hope you're okay, Amy. But she just announced that she wants to end the filibuster, too.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Except for Manchin and Sinema, maybe one or two others who have kept quiet, I think that's pretty much the consensus in the... in the caucus, and, you know, God hope the others see it too, and they can get this done, because it's not in the Constitution. That's not what the founders wanted. The Senate is already way weighted towards rural conservative states anyway. It's not, it's not part of the American creed. We don't need it. And, it has a very bad effect.
I'm curious as to what you think in terms of a Manchin or a Sinema at the end of the day, if they start to see things really unravel.
I don't totally understand their game. I mean, I think for Sinema, who's from a increasingly blue state, I think this has been a riskier path than it is for Manchin. I'll take them at the word that they believe that sort of bipartisanship is possible, and the filibuster encourages that, and, you know, they're proud of what they did on this infrastructure bill that wound up with a lot of Republican support, including Mitch McConnell. So, you know, I take them at their word that they believe there's a path forward to sensible policies under the filibuster regime. But I think that's all evidence to the contrary, that that's really what happened.
Yeah, so, and I think what happened...
I hope at the end of the day I think my hope had always been that they would just get pissed off at Republican obstructionism and they too would join the anti-filibuster chorus, but or at the very least curtail the filibuster. But that is, you know, I don't think it'll happen. I wish it would.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens because there will be coattails. And if the entire agenda goes into up in flames, they pay a price.
Yeah, as the old saying goes, they hang together or hang separately.
Right, and so it'll be interesting to see. I want to get to Afghanistan really quickly because I think we were away on vacay when Biden ended the war, were we? Or maybe the last show we did, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Lots gone down. But here we are. The war is over. We're mostly out. And this morning, I guess they took out the last 100 Americans with the Taliban's consent. Sad part, I saw on your Twitter feed that you mentioned that the last Jew was removed or left, and that's very sad, because the entire region is Jewless other than basically Israel, you know, where there had been such strong presence there. But, you know, I think he was right to do what he did. I think he did you can't get out of a war easy, particularly when you're the losers. Hello. I think good for him. I'm glad he did what he did. You know, it wasn't perfect. It was a lot better than one it could have been. And I think the press, particularly the New York Times, is just stuck on this for reasons
don't
understand.
They're just going on Afghanistan stories every fucking day.
I mean, and like, who cares? That's the thing.
And they, I mean, you know, Texas, COVID, they can't. They're going to focus on Afghanistan and how horrible he did. But, you know, the truth is, look, the people who ought to be embarrassed are Petraeus, Hillary, Obama, Bush.
That they wouldn't get
Panetta.
Yeah.
Everybody who kept saying, oh, one more surge, one more thing, it's going to be fine. Oh, now we're using drones, and now the Afghan army's got a helicopter. Woohoo. You know, we lost 20 years.
And money, the money, not to mention the money.
And, you know, we went through Vietnam and then we did the exact same thing. And,
listen,
you know.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
We did the exact same thing and we pissed it all away. And, you know, Biden and to a lesser degree, Trump were right. This is bullshit. We should have gotten out. And I think it's extraordinary they got 120,000 people out in a couple of weeks.
What I'm saying. It was amazing. It really was a feat.
Like a Berlin airlift. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, no planes crashed. They got people packed into these things. They're still getting some people out. So, you know, look. You know,
I think history will be kind.
If the Afghan president's going to flee in the middle of the night and every one of their troops is going to lay down their guns and let the peasant theocrats come back in take over and start smashing pianos and putting burqa and beekeeper suits on all the women, you know, after 20 years of this shit, then there's nothing we can do. I mean,
he made the right choice.
I hope to God the people... What? Rise up against the Taliban.
I don't know. We'll see about that. That's pretty easy picture.
You know, I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna have as easy a time governing as they did in the 90s. But for now, it's their show, and our good friends the Pakistanis can be thanked for their wonderful role in all this.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But look, I think Biden's right. Nothing Chinese and Russians would have wanted more than us being stuck there another 20 years.
So I'm going to get really cynical here and I'm going to say this. A, he did a great job. I don't care what anybody says. And no, it wasn't perfect, but it can't be perfect. But B, the amount of money that he is saving will pay for his infrastructure and his package. Thank you very much. And And they ought to be talking about that. You know,
that is true because we would have been back to the goddamn surges.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Oh, absolutely.
We would have been back to, oh, my God, we need to get in there. We need to have David Petraeus, the miracle worker, go do another surge. And we would have been back at this again. And, yeah, it would have gone on for years. And these it's totally disingenuous for people to say, well, why can't it be like Germany and Tokyo? Mm-hmm. You know, after World War II, we left some troops behind. It's all peaceful. You know, there's a Burger King by the base. You know, Elvis Germany did his draft tour. What's the problem? Let's just leave some people behind. Well, you know, if you had hundreds of thousands of Nazi guerrillas shooting at our bases in Germany, that would have been in the 50s. That would have been different. This is not like Germany and Japan.
No, it's not.
Korea.
And there are different political people now who play much harder games than they used to. So there you go. I would like to see, like I said, they need to get to hire some new messaging people, and they need to turn this around in a hurry. History will be kind to him for this, I guarantee you. Even if there's a surge of terrorists or, you know, ISIS there, it'll still be kind to him. So, there you go. It's remarkable to me. Moving on, I just want to go back to Merrick Garland on and just say, I think they're going to have to replace him. You got any thoughts on him? I just don't think he's aggressive enough, creative enough for these times.
Well, I think you're probably right. You know, I mean, I think he's certainly on the Trump prosecution stuff. He's been very cautious, and I can understand the legal arguments for that. But you know, it's ultimately a political fight as much as a legal one, and. I think he's in the worst possible situation, which is he's weak on that Trump stuff. He has not been aggressive enough on the crime problem.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I'm sure they're going to get very woke on all this, on all the, you know, racial stuff. I just think it's a bad combination. I mean, they came out of the gate on this Texas thing. They made it sound like they're going to take action. They had nothing to say. And they said, well, we're going to enforce this, you know, statute from a few years ago about how you can't clog the sidewalks outside an abortion clinic. Well, fuck that. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They shut down the abortion clinics.
Right, right, right. That's
you don't
what
have
I'm
to
saying.
Worry about the sidewalks anymore.
That's what I'm saying to you. That this
they're
guy just.
They're closed.
He's not aggressive, and worse, he's not creative. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, you brought up the Donald Trump thing because that's on my list. You know, he's still a free man. By the way, so is Matt Gaetz, still a free man.
How's your buddy doing?
Yeah, he's newly married. Oh, well.
Yeah, he's a family man.
He's a family man. And they did get a guy on extorting his father, but that has absolutely nothing to do with any of this. The wheels of justice are not serving people. And I'm going to get back to what I said. There are certain things that need to happen in order for the Democrats... for Biden to hold the Democrats' attention. And one of them is the need to take some action against Trump. Or you will never get, they will throw up their hands and say, screw all of you. Telling you, he's got to take action against Trump. And Trump is now getting ready to get back on the trail. We'll discuss his...
Look, they ought to be putting...
Yeah.
You know,
what?
No, I agree with you. They ought to be going hard on this stuff. You know, you want that, and you know, I sometimes disagree with you about what you think Democrats should do. But I'll tell you one place where I think we'll agree. If a Democratic Speaker of the House was in jail, a former Democratic Speaker of the House was in jail right now for paying off the victims of his child molestation, and he was doing a hard time for that, you think Republicans would talk about it? You think it would come up on Fox News occasionally?
But this is my point.
Democrats never say a thing about Danny Hastert, who, by the way, was the longest serving Republican speaker ever.
Right, right.
I mean, he wasn't just in there for 6 months.
By another gym teacher.
Yeah, yeah. And you think nobody in Congress knew about it, and nobody knows about Jim Jordan. But the Democrats can't. Democrats cannot make Danny Hastert a household word, and the way Republicans would. I mean, Republicans are still beating up Hillary on Benghazi. You know, but Democrats, nobody knows who Danny Hastert is, because Democrats just kind of, well, they let it go. Well, whatever. It's a private matter.
Well, because the deal is this. They just keep saying, we're going to play within the law. We're going to do the right thing. And that's going to pay off in the end. BS. That isn't going to help. So we'll go this round on Dems' behavior in the future, because they're just not smart. We got some things to get to in the last few minutes, so I want to move
on. Let's,
because believe me, we're going to come back to this, because this is a problem, and it's only going to get worse. Underreported story, Matt, I don't know if you picked it up. Some national Democratic donors are waiting on the sidelines about putting money into Florida. Are you aware of that?
No, because of Val Demings or what?
Not because of, they just think that Florida is a waste of time. And that DeSantis is, and remember what I said to you a couple of, I've been saying this for a long time, but I remember saying it a couple of months ago, that I thought it was a problem, that there is no, when I did it through the election, there is no money the Democrats spend in Florida, which is just like the Mickey Mouse Club. Every time you go into, one of the local Democratic committees, thing. This is a problem. This is a problem. You got to get one of your guys over the Washingtonian to delve into this and see about this. Florida is very doable, Matt.
Look, you and I have been agreeing on this. Yeah. I mean, Bill Nelson almost held that seat. He had huge support for letting felons vote in a referendum. Of course, the Republicans snatched a lot of that back through the legislature. But this is a winnable state, and it's tough. It's tough, but, Val Demings could win this.
I definitely agree.
And DeSantis could be beat, but, they got to be all in to make that happen.
Right. So it's very uncomfortable to me why this continues to happen with the state and why they treat it like this. Something scares them here. I'm just not sure what it is. I want to move to Biden removed political hacks from military boards, and one of those was Kellyanne Conway, and another one was Sean Spicer. Spicy, who both have gone nuclear, saying, we're going to take him to court for taking us off these appointed committees.
God. Yeah, why can't we be on the committee?
We've done everything in our power to destroy America, but let's be on this.
Yeah, we've blown up every norm. No, we're not going to release prisoners' tax return or medical records. We're just going to do it our way. And now you dare take me off the Annapolis Review Board with.
It's just bizarre stuff. I mean, it just really, really is.
I mean, they're so full of shit. Yeah,
and the thing about it is that Kellyanne Conway is as much a nut today as she's ever been. Maybe worse. Who knows what she's doing behind the scenes for Trump.
I don't think she's a nut. But
I think she's a nut. I thought she was a nut back in the day of Monica.
Well,
speaking of Monica, did you happen to see any of the FX?
No, my blood pressure is high enough.
Well, I watched it for a whopping 5 minutes because it was so bad that it was unbelievable. This guy had won Emmy Awards for his other American crime scenes. This was beyond. But
yeah, I like the OJ one. I saw that.
Yeah, believe me, this didn't even come close. But let me tell you something that was very weird in it. Monica was a producer on this, and she had rights of refusal on all of it.
Right, right.
The actress, I don't know who she is, who she had portray her. Oh, my God, Matt, you need to watch it just for that, because it was a picture of how Monica is now trying to portray herself. The girl was ugly, hugely overweight, which Monica was always a hefty girl, but she wasn't hugely overweight, and she was gorgeous.
No, no.
And she was gorgeous, and she was sexy, and she knew how to throw that hair, that black hair around and carry on like she did. I mean, she was hardly, a victim in every sense. And this portrayal was pathetic. Pathetic.
Yeah.
Just
I don't know why. Well, I don't know. Monica did a lot for many years. Her position was, I'm not a victim. I was an adult.
Because now the new meme is to be the victim.
Yeah, but now you want to be a victim, so now she's a victim.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. What an idiot she is. I mean, really, But, hey, you do what you need to do.
This became her life, and that's sad. She didn't
marry. She didn't,
marry. She didn't, you know, she didn't sort of, I don't know what she did in terms of career, except for kind of this. And it's too bad. I just.
It is, but you have to just watch the first 5 minutes of it, because it's scary,
you know,
in that they're going to
so
take
agitated. It was so agitating at the time.
Yeah, oh, right. I was with you on that.
Know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I don't know if I can do it again.
I
may steal myself.
Well, the only reason I'm saying, like I said, I couldn't get past the first 5 minutes because it was so stupid. It was ridiculous. Stupid. But it was so wrong, too. But hey, you know.
Yeah, fucking Ken Starr was having an affair, now we find out.
They all were. Hyde, Henry Hyde, every single one.
Oh, right.
Gingrich, they all were. That's what's so funny about it. And that's never the story that's told.
No, of course.
Yeah, right.
Coach Hastert.
Oh, my God.
Coach Hastert
running
around writing checks.
Do you have any water you can send down this way so I can take a bath and cleanse myself? Every time I have a discussion of that, that's how I feel. Ethel Kennedy opened up this morning. Her very liberal two grandchildren have wanted Sirhan, who killed her husband, to be released from prison. She said no. Thank you, Ethel. One sane Kennedy left.
Yeah, well, Rory said keep him in jail.
Yeah,
right?
There were two or whatever. But yeah. Are you kidding me? This guy killed? It's just amazing to me what this world has come to. Robert E. Lee, last statue taken down in Virginia. And Trump responded, oh, my God, Matt. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. He must be very upset. His Garden of Heroes is not getting built. Remember, he wanted to make a big statue theme park with statues of Scalia and Louis Armstrong.
Oh my God! I mean, oh my God! Oh my God! Please, somebody arrest Trump, please. If you can get Andrew Cuomo, please get Trump. He's also selling his D.C. hotel. I guess business isn't what it used to be. He can't steal money anymore, so he's selling it.
Yeah, he's got to get his name off these properties. I mean, it's just not, it's not where anyone wants to take a big function.
On that note...
I mean, outside of...
on that note, how is Washington a functioning city right now with COVID? I mean, are people out and about like they are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we have very high mask compliance, and... the rate's pretty low of hospitalizations. I think it's all kind of...
So you're not living under the stress level that we Floridians are living under.
Well, only if people yelling at you for not having a mask on. But, you know, I went to the library the other day, and I was in one of those separate glassed-in study rooms they have. It's very nice public
library. Yeah, we have them here and there.
But my mask was down. I was behind glass, you know. And the librarian starts rapping on the glass. Get your mask on.
Really?
Okay. I get it on. Later, I have to leave the little study area and go out of the main area, and my mask had drooped a bit under my nose. Well, this time, I thought she was ready to, like, put the cuffs on me.
No kidding.
Start shouting, sir, your mask. And by the way, I'm like 25 feet from anyone. I'm not, like, sitting next to grandma. So this is kind of a very mask-vigilant place. It's the Out of Florida. And, it's kind of basically functioning.
Hi, can I come visit? Because I could use, like, about a week of not having to worry about all this. But I'm going to tell you what, as far as I'm concerned...
Yeah,
you're
going to have to breathe your own air. But.
it's just, you know, the stress is definitely whatever. Jobless claims were down. So people who are working are continuing to work, but they're still not able to fill things. So I got a couple of more things. One is Chris Christie's looking like he's going to step out of Trump's shadow and maybe go for a run. Who cares?
Right.
Does anybody care? Is he relevant on any level?
Well, you know, he had a fairly compelling story going into 2020, but I mean 2016, but it, I think that's gone now, and no, I don't think he has any. Any juice.
What was the other thing? Men are not getting educated, college educations. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I think this idea that, you know, that women are victims on all these campuses. I mean, look, and sexual assault is a real problem. I'm not to mention that. But this idea that, like, kind of, you know, we need endless support for women and girls on these campuses. The fact is, it's a crisis of men in education now, and the women are doing a lot better. And
I think that is symbolic of everything that's behind even the abortion laws and men really are feeling emasculated, like they don't have a chance. It's sad. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean
it's true though. I mean,
I mean, a lot of it's self-pitying, but I agree, it's having an effect. I mean, it's not a good one.
No,
but
no. Which leaves us with two things to discuss. There is a new book coming out that nobody knew about by Stephanie Grisham, who happened to have been Trump's press secretary, who never gave a press conference, by the way.
Right, yes. Quite,
and
quite
one-time
a
first
nice
lady.
Work if you can get it.
And one-time first lady chief of staff. And apparently
well, let's see what she's got.
They say she's got a lot. She kept notes. I think it comes out next month. It's one that I'm going to look at, that's for sure. I didn't get a title on it, but it'll be interesting. Which leaves us here. We are 20-year anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
So, Matt, I don't see this as something to commemorate. I don't see, it was horrible. People lost their lives. You know, we've had a whole lot of other crap happen in this country. People lose their lives in World War II. Stop in America. I did a lot of shows and spoke to a lot of survivors. You guys can go in our archives and find them because they were, got nominated for one of the shows. But I am not doing this anymore. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think it has had an outsized role in American life. Obviously, it's one of the most important days in kind of American history in terms of changing so many things. But, I think back to the way Pearl Harbor was commemorated. My parents were born in the 1920s and were young when that happened, but they always, December 7th came around, we always knew about it. We talked about it. There was kind of, the sneak attack was met with, righteous anger and national unity. I wish 9/11, but it didn't become a fabric of our lives year after year, either, the way 9/11 has. And, and I understand the difference. Those were military deaths, mostly. These were civilians, et cetera. I hope it has a lesser role in American life. And the problem is, I think we've just, we just fucked up our response to this whole thing. We had these wars we didn't need.
We overreacted.
We created this crazy Department of Homeland Security. I guess the CIA talks to the FBI now, so that's something.
But
in general,
it really, I think, unveiled a weak spot in the American character that needs to be fixed and healed. And move forward.
And of course, now, Jesus, if something like that happened now, half the people wouldn't believe it happened.
Right, they would say it was
They'd say, oh, it was like the moon landing. Yeah. It was fake. I don't even believe it happened.
Exactly. But I do think that there needs to be some serious look at how we address this in the future. And I'm just not going to give it the thing, say a prayer. My heart goes out to those who lost. I have a friend who lost her son in it. I just say, but stop it. But I don't want to leave on that note, so we're going to leave on a high note. If you're into boxing, you're going to get a color performance by former president, the former guy, and his junior. What the fuck is that? That's all he's got to do, Matt. Oh, my God.
Hell yeah.
I can't bear it.
And they're
worshiping him on that note. Give me a break. Just give me a break. That's all I got to say.
I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back.
It's so good to talk to you. You're so
smart. Glad you're back. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Stay healthy.
Goodbye, darling.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to The Hallicaster Jane Show, a production of RESEC, LLC. The Hallicaster Jane Show posts new podcasts Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, and is available at hallicasterjane.com and on all your favorite apps. Be sure to visit us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and follow me on Twitter at The Hallie CJ Show. Until next time, this is Hallie Kasser-Jane.